To the players, reality is one against one, move and counter-move, helmet to helmet. Nowhere is this conflict more evident than at the fringe of battle where the receiver and cornerback match glares. Here, cunning and speed determine the victor. One-on-one, the battle where the loser bleeds alone on an open field.
Okay, football fans.
Are you ready for some football?
Let's get back to some football.
Yeah, there you go.
And welcome back to NFL Easy Picks right here on the Trending Topics Network. Back here for week 7 of the NFL season. And we are here to talk about our wonderful Pick'ems League, our fantasy league, our teams, and the whole entire NFL. And we'll probably go on a couple tangents on some of the news stories that are going around. But if you'd like to be a part of the show, you can tweet us at NFL Easy Picks. You can use the hashtag NFL Easy Picks, or you can email us NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com. We're going to get into the show without any further ado, and I have with me
who day, the motherfuckers.
Mob, and I have no FTW this week. Break. Just no, but we did find out that he is going to be challenging The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and if he wins, he's going to pull out the cucumber because that is The Undertaker's kryptonite.
Yeah, I don't get that reference.
He is deathly afraid of cucumbers.
The Undertaker is?
Yes.
Look it up. A weird thing to be afraid of.
That's funny because that's one of the things that Shane loves. But without any further ado, because it's just going to be a two-man team this week, wanted to get a couple other people on, but they couldn't show. Might have a couple, at least one new person on next week, even if Shane's back on.
We'll see how it goes.
But let's get into the picks and all that, how they favored out. Not a good week. We actually had two people who didn't make picks this week. We had GBL, who was so excited for his birthday that he forgot to make picks. And of all people, FTW, because he didn't make picks for us on the show, he just flat out forgot about it.
2 years running now that he's done that.
Yep.
So he's gonna go in this week, make the picks for the rest of the season, just like he did before.
Then the funny thing is, he was on the show when he made those, when he fucked up, I believe.
Yeah, he was on. He was a host or a co-host then. Yeah.
But I'm saying he actually was on the show that week, said his picks.
Well, it's just like this one. I think he did it in the car again. Uh-huh.
That's true. He did. We went through those early on.
Yeah, we did them. We did them right out of the bat. Yeah, last week.
Mm-hmm. And all right, go over our picks really quick for those who actually made picks. Everybody got the Jets right, and that's it. Why people would go against the Patriots?
Because people had really bad weeks and needed to try to catch games up. And at that point, does one more loss really fucking matter?
Green Bay, we actually had one person go against that and almost made certain people sound brilliant that Green Bay was.
You mean that god awful team that hasn't been anything since Brett Favre left?
Yep, god awful team. And one person picked Cleveland to beat Denver.
And it almost fucking happened.
Oh my god, I actually watched that game. We'll get that later. We had two picks, though, that were smart picks, or everybody else went against it. Two underdog picks that came out. The Saints, that was only picked by the To Pimp a Butterflies, which is MJR, and Carolina over Seattle, and that was only picked
by myself. Yeah, the Saints-Atlanta game, I should have seen that coming. It was in New Orleans. It was Thursday night. I mean, Atlanta was on a roll, and they blew it.
Yeah, when you have teams on a roll like that, absolutely, it's hard to go against them, especially going up against a team like New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans was the underdog for a reason.
Might kind of have their shit back together a little bit. There's some promise, at least. The last couple of weeks, I'm thinking, is this team going to get a win?
Yeah. And then Are there any other games we could talk about? Philly murdering
and what had to Giants, be the ugliest, which, most disgusting game of the week. That, I mean, yes, the score was what, 27-7. The game was not worthy of 27-7.
Should have taken the spread on Green Bay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
10.
And that surprised me because it was in Lambeau. That was the biggest surprise for me, that St. Louis or San Diego was able to stick to it and were only 3 yards away from tying it. But Philip Rivers threw 60 times for 503 yards. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But it kind of goes back to what I was saying last week. There's only one stat that matters.
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter how many.
Philip Rivers' stats matter because he won me two leagues.
Well, fantasy
stats are all that matters to me.
But it's like, yeah, Philip Rivers did what he did, but at the same time, yeah, it's just they lost. So that.
Yeah, and I guess at this point, we actually have to take Carolina seriously. I mean, that's probably the best win they've had all year, and it wasn't even really that close. Carolina comes across to me as all smoke and mirrors at this point. They have Ted Ginn Jr. as their number one receiver, as wide receiver, I should say. I don't see how this is sustainable. Yeah, they have Olsen, but I'm talking about actual wide receivers.
They're going to be a playoff team.
Them and Atlanta both are going to probably be playoff bound.
But after that,
yeah, I don't see them going into Green Bay and winning in the playoffs. Who else? I don't see them going to Arizona and winning in the playoffs.
Is anybody going?
I think Arizona would give them one hell of a game. Let's see who else. What other teams would be making the playoffs? Maybe Seattle by then, if they get their shit together, could give them a game. God, other than that, I just don't see anybody even coming close. Yeah, I really look forward to that Arizona Green Bay in the playoffs. I can't. That game is going to be fucking amazing.
If we see it. That's the thing about playoffs.
Oh, yeah,
you have to play the game.
Me and Ant were talking about that Sunday, and we was talking about, you know, the number one team generally don't make it to the Super Bowl. It's all, you might get one, but the other one's a fucking wild card team. I think we figured out Denver and Seattle was the last time it happened.
But yeah, it doesn't happen
very often. Because even before that, it was San Francisco and Baltimore. Well, Baltimore was a wild card. You know, then last year was New England wasn't the number one seed. I thought Indy was. Because I thought New England had to go into Indy last year and beat them.
No, they went into Foxborough.
Maybe Seattle wasn't the number one then.
Yeah.
No, that's right. They had to go into Green Bay and beat Green Bay because Rodgers was kind of banged up and hobbling around.
That's because it sucks about, like, with my job. Like, I'll get to listen to games, but sometimes I don't remember where they're playing because I don't have that visual of
that field. Is one of the downsides of radio listening. I mean, football's a TV sport, so it's kind of hard not to watch it, you know what I'm saying? Like some of the other sports, baseball, you can listen to a baseball game. It's kind of hard to do that with the football game, though.
Oh, yeah, I've said a million times that what really helped football become America's new pastime is the invention and everything of the TV. Because when you had radio, football sucks listening to. I'm still not a huge fan of it, but it's something I've grown just to adapt to. But baseball's fine. Baseball makes sense. But when we got into the TV age and you watch baseball on TV.
Oh, it's kind of the same.
It's kind of, yeah, it's boring, kind of boring. Yeah, I know there's people out there who love baseball, but in the scheme of things, there's not much going on. It is very calm. It's a very calm game.
Basketball is the same way. It's very much a TV sport. It's hard to follow a basketball game on the radio.
Oh my God, it's so fucking impossible. Hard.
You got to know all the players' names because they don't say, you know, fucking player's name. They don't say the team he's with. So if you don't know the names, you're fucked.
I'm trying to pull up real quick 2014 NFL season to see who was actually number one. Oh, fuck you, Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia's great. You.
No, because I typed in 2014 NFL season, and the first thing it went to was just the year 2014.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't it?
like the whole article for the whole year, everything going on, not just NFL. Seco 2 playoff bracket, that'll give us a good indication. Colts were number 4. So, oh, yeah. I was about to say, why doesn't show me number 1? Oh, yeah, because number 1 is second week. New England was number 1, which is what I thought. And then the NFC. Seattle.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody else had done that recently.
Yeah,
but in the overall scheme of it, it doesn't happen as much as you would think. It's typically not the number one seeds. Mm-hmm. You'll typically get one, but not both. Honestly, a lot of the time it's playoff.
Oh yeah, like the year
the wild card team.
The year the Green Bay won.
The Giants were wild card, I believe, both years that they won. Baltimore was a wild card the year they won. Yeah, typically it's that team that's playing good at the end of the year that has to have them wins at the end of the year so they keep playing good, and it just carries right into the playoffs.
I think it is kind of rare to see like a 3 years in a row, but I don't know what we're going to see. The other thing right now, too, is we have Denver Peyton Manning playing like shit, but Denver playing as a whole awesome enough to win. I mean, granted, the Browns did almost beat and they made the Browns look
good. When Denver actually has to play a team that's good, because I'm sure they're going to have games coming up that, you know, they're going to have to face a New England or, you know, something like that. I got a feeling Denver's going to look really bad, because Peyton is awful, is to say it the nicest way I can say it. He's not good right now.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not.
And it's kind of sad to see, because he was so good for so long. This is just a shell of what Peyton Manning should be.
Pull up real quick.
And there's actually, and I don't know how realistic they are, but there's a lot of rumor that that Brock Osweiler, his backup, there's a lot of people that are saying that he may end up finishing the season, because you got to do something. That is a playoff bound team that is not playing up to the caliber they should. Yeah, they may be 5-0 or 6-0. They're not playing like a 5-0 or 6-0 team.
They are. Ironically,
yeah, I noticed. I said last week that Cincinnati was having to play Pittsburgh, but ESPN on the side of the team page, they have the schedule. Well, they didn't list the bye week, which the Bengals are on bye this week.
Mm-hmm. The month of November is going to be a very interesting month for the Broncos. They start off rough. The three teams in the middle are going to add to it. I think they can at least get one win out of those two. But next week when they come back, they play Green Bay.
I think that Green Bay is going to make them look really, really bad, because Green Bay is a very good team.
And they are also a bye this week.
That's right, because if you look at the fantasy stuff, dude, like out of the top 10 receivers, like 7 of them are on bye this week. It's kind of ridiculous.
Green Bay, Cincinnati, Denver,
so,
Chicago.
Jeffries, AJ Green, Randall Cobb, Emmanuel Sanders, and Demarius are all on bye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and Forte. I was just counting receivers, though.
No, he's counting receiver. Anyway, after that, they go Colts, at Colts, hosting Kansas City Chiefs, at Chicago Bears. I think that'll be their win. Not counting that they'll... I like Chiefs and Colts are going to be interesting. Chiefs because it's divisional. Colts because obviously the Manning everything.
I'm probably going to take the but Colts game, though.
But the end of the month is the Patriots.
Yeah, I got a feeling you're going to get at least 3 losses that in the month of November. And it wouldn't completely shock me if Kansas City was to beat them, because Kansas City is one of those teams that has the talent, if they ever get it worked out, to beat a team like Denver.
Yeah, but Kansas City this year. Oh, we can get into that later. God. And then just to throw it out there, they end it at the Chargers, hosting the Raiders, at Steelers, hosting the Bengals, and end it with hosting the Chargers. Ooh, so
their schedule gets a lot more brutal than it has been, because I could very easily see Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. I figure one of the San Diego games is a loss. They're going to end the season really badly.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, how about that third-string quarterback?
He's the fucking... He's got maybe the most punchable face in the NFL.
I figured...
No. This dude is like ultimate fucking hipster, fucking douchebag, mustache-wearing fuck. But he played really well. I mean, he made Michael Vick look like... Mm-hmm. Clearly the problem. Martavius Bryant fucking lit Arizona up. I mean, lit them up. So,
I mean, there was only three people, MJR, Andy, and Wayne that picked Pittsburgh. But I think it's one of those things, if Vic would have played like we were expecting when you pick,
When Vic was in there, that offense was stagnant. Because he played some of that game, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. and got hurt like part of the way through. Yeah, Pittsburgh was in bad shape until Vic got hurt. And Landry Jones, I think is his name. But yeah, he come in and actually, mm-hmm. and some of that is, you know, Arizona didn't game plan for Landry Jones. They game planned for Michael Vick. Some of that goes into that, but he looked like a guy that could get a team through a couple weeks, you know, with an injury, which might affect when Roethlisberger comes back. Because if it was still Vick, I think Roethlisberger comes back next week. But now that it's Landry Jones, maybe they push it another week till Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? Because they are still they're still in the division hunt. They're only two games back. So they need as many wins as they can get. And if you can sneak another win out of Landry Jones and let Ben rest for another week, I mean, that's all the better for Ben's long-term outcome.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the one thing I heard a lot of people say. With, you know, do you play Roethlisberger this week or do you go with Jones? And they were like, well, you know, they're going against Kansas City with a divisional game coming up. Yeah,
you got Cincinnati coming off a bye and Roethlisberger coming back. That game's going to be huge.
All right, let's go over the standings, the new standings for the Pick'ems League. Or should say, go over standings of how everybody did for the week, actually. Tied at zero is Shane and GBL. Tied at, I'm not even going to the place, just tied at seven is myself, Miguel, and Brian. Tied at eight is Mop Jockey, it's yourself, DRG, and Carp. Tied at nine is Ant, AA, Mart, and Wayne. 10, Bartender, and top of the week. Only missing three, 11 is, well, only missing three, he got 11 right. Is MJR.
Yeah, MJR had one hell of a week. If I remember right, when I looked at it originally, he'd only missed one, like through the early games. So he was on a roll there for a bit.
MJR is only 11 correct out of first. Now, the only way I say he's only 11, which right now, ironically enough, he is 11th place, he didn't pick the first
week. Was it the first week or first two?
He wouldn't. Let's look this up. I want to say it was first week because he got at me after the Thursday night game of Denver at Kansas City, and he has picks in for the first week. So yes. But going over the new current standings, in 14th place, Shane with 44. 13th place, actually no, tied for 12th place is Bartender and Miguel. 11th place, NJR with 48. 10th place, Tunes Terrible with 50. 9th place, GBO with 51. 8th place, Mob Jockey with 53. 7th place, myself with 57. 6th place, tied for 5th place, ironically enough, we have Ant in DRG. 4th place, Carp with 56. 3rd place, AA, 58. 2nd place, Wayne is a Baker with 58. And in 1st place, the Egg Chasers, Mart, with 60, which we'll throw out the plug there, you know, on the DSJMP Network Fantasy Footy, where Ant and Wayne go over their picks for kickball, as they should call it over there in England. But they happen to mention real football and go over picks there. And Wayne described his strategy, which I get it. He's going with a probability, and probability has worked in his favor. Looking at, because the other thing too, Wayne, which I know Wayne's not listening to this. Does anybody want to explain it to him? You're looking at the bars on the right. Those are not necessarily the favorites to win.
They're the popular picks.
Those are how... Yeah. Those are just going by picks. I mean, yeah, they're the favorite by picks. But they're not the points for the favorite
to win. And he's gotten a lot of luck on his side, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get it. Like, he has a method to the madness, but it's going to be one of those things where it's not going to always work out. Like, granted, a lot of the favorite picks are the favorites to, are like the favorites in the spread and all that, the favorite to win. It'll be interesting with currently looking at Minnesota at Detroit.
50-50.
It's the only one at 50-50, and the rest of them are ridiculous. The lowest percentage is Pittsburgh at Kansas City. And the Steelers are favorited, picks-wise, at 74%.
Yeah, it was really, really tough coming up with an underdog this week.
I currently have one, but that might change, and I actually think I might add
the underdog to that. I got three, and but that's just the gambler in me. But from what I understand, Wayne's a bit of a gambler, and he's, you know, he's got systems for things. So, hey, his system's working right now. It'll work right until it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like we said, far as I've looked, the average is about three. Like, underdogs that win. Last week was above the average because we had five. We had New Orleans, Miami, Pittsburgh, Carolina, San Francisco. And if three of those games could have went the opposite.
But if you're going to say that, you also had three games that the favorite almost lost. Or was it only two? It was Green Bay, Denver.
That's what I was talking about. Green Bay, Denver, and
was
Detroit.
Well, that was almost 50-50, though, wasn't it? Detroit and Chicago? Yeah, the spread? The pick-wise.
I don't know what the pick-wise. I'm going by
the
actual.
The spread's kind of funky because you're figuring in home field advantage.
Yeah, but very Cleveland could have won. Cleveland almost won.
What
Chicago
was the other overtime
won.
Game on the Sunday early games? Because I thought there was two again. The Chicago-Detroit was the other one. Yeah, that's right. The Toilet Bowl game was probably the game of the week. Figure that out.
can we not talk about how both of my teams went into overtime?
Do you
want
to talk about how they make rules up as they go to give the home teams touchdowns they don't deserve when it should have been an interception?
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming. Let's get into really quick go through the fantasy league and how they're currently standing. In 14th place, Tebow lives at 0-6, and I'm going to throw this out there to all the listeners because I know he doesn't listen. It has come to my attention, just judging by how someone goes 0-6, the guy who is Tebow lives, which is Devil Van's brother, has not messed with his team all year. Since mostly everybody in this league listens to the show, I want to know what you think about this. I can kick him out of the league, but what it is I can kick him out from ownership and put somebody else in there. And what I would do is actually I would probably put myself. Now, I'm not going to play said team, or I'd just get someone in there who would do it for me. But what is going to happen is the team would be liquidated, and I think I would get rid of everybody who is not at the top of the draft board that he drafted.
Well, you also got to figure there's a no cut list too. So I think we looked at the roster. Forte is the only guy you can't drop.
Like so many people in the top, you can't drop them. But
honestly, ideally, you find somebody to run it, or you just leave it alone. One or the other. I don't like the liquidating idea.
I want to get everybody else's opinion on it. It's still up in the air. If the guy's not going to play, because I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who he's in a league, and there's like two people who stop playing, and they have between them five quarterbacks, and the guy who's in charge of the league won't do anything about it. And it comes to a point where it's just like you have to step in and go, okay, great, and his is a free league too, and this is a free league too. I still want it to be fair to everybody, and I don't want it to be like you're hoarding people and no one can get them.
Well,
see, so
I don't know. Then you also run into the problem that the people that have already played him, you know, have already had that powder puff win of him not changing his roster. So then you're going to stick somebody else in there that's going to change his roster, which makes it a harder team to beat. So,
but the thing is that's why I want to liquidate it. You liquidate it, and people will get to because we're already tapped out.
Yeah,
the
there's nothing
wire.
There.
So you're adding to the waiver wire. Where you're still getting that powder puff win because they're not going to be able to play. It's going to be just a bunch of empties.
If you signed up for a fucking league, play the fucking league out, whether you're winning or losing.
Or what I could do, and this actually might be a nice way to do it, would liquidate the team, but I want to get nothing but like either some of the worst players in there or completely backup players, like quarterback Johnny Manziel.
Well, if he got points for arrest, he'd be in the lead.
He wasn't arrested.
I thought they did. No, that's right. They didn't cite either one of them, did they?
Nope. There's a pending investigation.
No. The NFL is going to fucking investigate. The police are done with it.
That's the investigation. Because the NFL hasn't decided what they're going to do.
I don't think they should do anything because technically nothing happened.
It is on the dash cam recording that she said he hit him.
Yeah,
he
but she can say... You can say a lot of things, especially when you're drunk. To me, it sounds like, honestly, we'll just go ahead and get into it. It was a couple that had a fucking fight. Every one of us has done it at some point. You know what I'm saying? We've all gotten into those fucking yelling, screaming matches with the significant other. Everybody's mad. Everybody wants this and that. And maybe the cops got called because this one got out of hand. But that doesn't mean anything actually happened. That's not the part I am worried about. My concern is the drinking. If he was fucking drinking, an alcoholic, alcoholics cannot drink because alcoholic, when they drink, don't know when to stop.
Here's the thing though. Why are you saying he's an alcoholic?
He went into rehab for alcoholism.
No, he went into rehab, but it is come yet on to now. Be
we
why
we can put pieces together and figure that
we're,
out.
We are assuming alcohol, and that's what I think too. But when they say that it was alcohol, you know, why would him being alcoholic? I mean, it's something you would just go, oh, he's a partier. Why isn't something that's out there? But I think there were just assuming, and that's what I have to go by. And I give credit to Manziel. Okay, people are saying, well, he's drinking and all this stuff. He admitted to an officer that he had drinks earlier, but they probably had a sobriety test or whatever.
He got breathalyzered, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and supposedly it was too low for them to do anything. Odds are nothing registered, so he was just being honest, like, you know what, officer, I had some drinks earlier. To me, that's being responsible.
My thing is, though,
but I mean,
we're all assuming that you can put pieces together that he had problems with drinking is what landed him in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that are like that, that have that problem, when you go back to drinking again, it comes right back. I mean, most alcoholics I know, once you're off of it, you cannot drink again because if you start, you won't stop.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but he just proved if he went in to be an alcoholic, he had a couple drinks, stopped, sobered up, and then left.
State of Ohio, I think you can have two before it will anything more than two registers as on a breathalyzer. So,
has nothing to do with it.
Like, if you have two beers, you'll still be all right for the breathalyzer.
No, for me and you. Well, it all depends on the body
size. I mean, his metabolism, you know, is fucking huge because he's an athlete. So his body is going to metabolize alcohol faster than it will in ours.
Mm. But if if he was an alcoholic,
that was my only. I don't care about the fight. I mean, we've all had the fight. It was the drinking part that would concern me a little for, you know, his future-ish.
But honestly, like, because the big thing in Cleveland when I was home, you know, it was kind of, you know, a lot of people were bringing up the whole alcohol thing, you know, people on the radio were just like, you know, we don't know what he went in for. And I think that's actually a very good point. But it's only made me just wonder, why don't we know what he went in for? Yeah, we're assuming alcohol, and maybe they were using that as a cover, like, okay, he's going to go in for whatever, but we'll make everybody think it's alcohol. What is this thing that we don't know what he went in for? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it something weird that he had to, like, go into some sort of rehab for? Like, what is it? And why hasn't it been talked about? Like, yeah, he went in for drinking because you obviously know how big a drinker he is.
Yeah, the general perception when you go to rehab, most people it's alcohol. Yeah, but the number of alcoholics is higher than the number of drug addicts.
But my thing is, why wouldn't they say
it? Because I'm guessing because he didn't want it released. That would fall under the HIPAA laws.
Well,
yeah, that's the HIPAA laws. God, what's it called?
Hippocratic.
No, that's where you can't do harm. The doctor patient.
No. I'm not saying the rehab would say. I'm talking about like the actual. Like, why wouldn't his people come out and say, if we know he has a problem, if someone goes, anybody else in Hollywood or whatever goes into rehab for something, they say he went into rehab or this person went into rehab for
evidently,
this.
Evidently, there's a reason he didn't want it to get out there.
That's what I'm saying. Why? What is it? Is it something else? Or is there another just some reason why he didn't want people to know they went for alcohol?
But there's this.
I just want to know. What
I mean,
the
he's never been rumored that I know of to be a drug guy
that we know of. That would be another reason to hide it. That's we don't.
Yeah, it just know. To me, as visible of a person that he is, you know, with the partying and stuff, you probably would have been able to pick up some kind of a drug thing there somewhere if it was drugs.
There was the one thing with drugs. obviously before his rookie season. No, it's not pot. Remember, there was a picture of him in a Vegas bathroom, and he had a rolled up dollar bill or whatever, however how much it was, like in his hand. And if you have a rolled up currency, it's to snort coke or snort something.
It's not out of the question, but it might have been his situation that I heard some story about that though too. It was that somebody had asked him to take a selfie, and you know, he didn't know who it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he just took a selfie, and it mm-hmm. ended up the guy was like a huge drug dealer, and you know, it ended up working out really bad for the guy. I can't remember what player it was, and it may have been one of the actors or something that it happened to. But yeah, there was a lot of accusations after that.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to
we can't do too many of those.
You're so bad at it. In 14th place, Tebow lives with 0-6. 13th place, the Beast Incarnate, 2-4. 12th place, Bartender, 2-3-1. 11th place, Pin Me Pay Me, 3-3. 10th place, Twisted Savages, 3-3. 9th place, Nickel D, 3-3. 8th place, The Bullshit Brits, 3-3. 7th place, Plan B, 3-3. 6th place, Boobs, 3-3. Noticing a pattern. 5th place, Die, Chronicky Die, 3-3. 4th place, The American Males, 3-3. 3rd place, Hashtag Cancel the NFL Network, 4-2. 2nd place, Carp's Tip Top Team, 4-1-1. And in 1st place, 5-1.
That's right. And I have to thank Brian this week for forgetting to change his lineup. Thanks, Brian.
I beat.
Yeah, because Brian would have probably beat me if he would have set his lineup. Well, I mean, he had Martavius Bryant on the bench get like 35 points. Yep.
Yeah, but
everybody else was on bye. I mean, he literally had guys that I think he had four people that either were on bye or were injured and out.
Shane had two players that didn't play
because they were on bye or just were injured and scratched.
Injured. They were both marked as probable. Matt Jones. And
yeah, then he didn't check it Sunday morning to change the ones that were inactives.
And Tyler Lockett.
What the fuck are you doing starting Tyler Lockett?
Because it's fucking
he gives up Jordan Matthews to start Tyler Lockett.
He didn't really have anybody on his bench worth playing.
We talked about this a little earlier. The waiver situation or
the bad. the most points on his bench, not by a quarterback. 5.7. And that's
so I got four more weeks to come up with a name. it's gonna start with a T and end with an Annie.
Tranny?
Maybe.
God, my bench was horrible too.
Oh, my bench is terrible, dude. I've got nobody on the bench.
But
I'm 5-1. What can I? You know, I can't complain really, right?
Mm-hmm. I like how good
dude Freeman's doing. He's killing it, dude. I think he's averaged 30 points a week for the last 3 weeks.
I don't like how bad Shane Green
kind of need. You kind of need to get him out at this point.
I think I just picked him up for.
Well, no. At the start of the season, you know, we didn't quite know what we were going to get, but I don't know if the Giants know how to run the ball or get the ball to a running back. Period.
Yeah,
it's pretty much if Beckham doesn't do anything, the Giants don't do anything.
Let's quickly get into how our teams did. Since Shane's not here, we won't hear how happy he is that Philadelphia is, as he would probably say, that they're back and the dream team
going to
the
Super Bowl.
And I know, but we're filling in for him. He'd probably say that. Buffalo lot. Oh yeah. Since we can't hear about Buffalo,
they played really well against a really banged up Buffalo team. I mean, they're just rolling. I mean, keep it going. Going into a bye, going 6-0, coming out of it to play Pittsburgh. Nothing but excitement.
Tennessee didn't play.
They
were on bye. Who was on bye last week?
Dallas.
So one of our teams was on bye.
Who else was on bye last week?
No doubt.
No, but they were on bye last week.
Joe's not on the show anymore.
Yeah, no. Tennessee played. They got their asses handed to them by Miami. That's the Miami team I expected from the beginning of the year. You know, a running back that runs the ball for a bunch of yards and, you know, limits the number of times the quarterback throws the ball. But I don't understand. After Mariota got hit in the back late and it was – the fucking guy should have got tossed from the game for doing it. It was a late hit, and it was in his back of his leg, like rolled up on the back of his leg, like dove at the back of his legs, I should say. But after that, he clearly was hurt. He was limping around. Why in the fuck do you take your young rookie franchise fucking quarterback and keep trotting him out there when you know damn good and well you're not making the fucking playoffs? Fucking get the guy out. Let him fucking rest. He's going to miss this week. Low-grade MCL strain, I think is what they're calling it. But why in the fuck are you running a goddamn guy out there with all of the leg injuries and knee injuries out there that are costing guys years of their career? You're going to trot the fucking guy right back out there. That's fucking stupid. I mean, okay, I understand. Yeah. You're only like a game and a half back of the fucking first place. But let's be realistic. Come on.
And then we have the Browns and the Bears. Once again, I've yet to watch a Bears game this year. I don't know if I will.
They're nothing if not exciting.
Depending on the week. But I mean, I picked them to win, but this is one of those games. There was no defense.
Well, there was, but it got negated by somebody that doesn't know how to fucking interpret rules or decides to change the fucking rules midway through a game.
I give one congratulations to Dallas to finally have a blown call go in their favor.
You mean Detroit?
Detroit, Dallas, tomato, tomato. They're both shitholes. And they both had problems in the playoffs about what's a catch and what's not a catch. But, yeah, Detroit. And that's... This is the first one that has went in their favor. They keep getting fucked on calls in recent history. They finally get one that works out for them.
Your Browns got one that went in their favor because they ruled that last catch of Emmanuel Sanders in regulation. They ruled that a catch and he was down and the clock kept running, which ran out the clock, right? Or did they call that? No, they stopped the clock and gave that fucker more time to actually score, to try to score anyway than he didn't. And it shouldn't have been I can't tell you what a fucking catch is.
Was that what it was called?
It was an incomplete catch pass. And he was down?
It was first called a catch, but then it went under review, and because there was just so much going on at that point. So because they were kind of trying to figure out whatever. But they end up calling it back for an incomplete pass. So they put time back on the clock.
No, it didn't. It very easily could have
worked out for him. It didn't work out for him.
I watch college games. They do review booth reviews type things also, but it only takes minute two. The NFL is like fucking 10 minutes each fucking review. What the fuck are you people doing? How in the fuck can the college game have it right and you fucking people getting all that goddamn money can't get it fucking right? You fucking dumbasses. The NFL has money?
Your question.
Oh, fuck. They get enough money for fucking sponsors.
More sponsors.
Fuck them assholes.
But when they go in to do those reviews...
Every time they go.
Sometimes they go to commercial. Because, like, sometimes when I'm listening on the radio, they're like, yeah, we're waiting for TV to come back.
It irritates me. Stop slowing the fucking game down. You're making it so you... I don't know if I could watch a game right now. I don't know if I could sit down and just sit and watch a game.
It's to the point where it reminds me of the other thing that a lot of people complain about. Not this necessarily in football, but people like love NXT and professional wrestling. You know, it's so much better than WWE and the main roster and this and that. Well, yeah, because they don't have to answer to all the particular TV guidelines that Raw does. And that's kind of like what it is in the NFL. Well, in football, you have college and everything being their version of NXT, and then you have the hardcore sponsors, the owners, and all that funness. I still go by with what I said last week. I think every play should be reviewable by somebody in New York. And if they think it is questionable by what they see, they send in a call. Something instantaneous.
Well,
where they
whatever
say, no,
it is,
that's
they need reviewed. To streamline it and speed it the fuck up. Because that is ridiculous to have people sitting there for 10 minutes watching nothing. You're watching guys run on and off the field, and it makes it very hard to watch a game. Very hard. And honestly, at this point, if it wasn't for fantasy, I would have done lost interest. Because that fucking shit pisses me off. I want to watch a game. I don't want to watch referees fucking meet in circles.
So do you think it was a catch or not a catch?
Oh, the Golden
Tate. No, catch on touchdown.
Well, it was not a fucking touchdown. Not according to the rules that they set for themselves. He'd made no football moves. Basically, he turned and the ball went up in the air. Isn't he supposed to make a football move? And turning is not a football move. He was falling down and the ball came out. Never had control of the ball. That should have been an interception. Fuck you, NFL.
Has there been official word, like, of the NFL backing that or being like, yeah, that was a kind of a blown call? Because they'll openly be like, yeah, like, we that called. But, like, at the end of the one Steelers game and...
I know the Detroit-Seattle game, one? They had the NFL come out and said that was the wrong call. Again, it cost Detroit.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's like I said. They finally have one that didn't fuck them. So they're just kind of like... They're probably like, fuck it. We won the game and we had a call go in our favor.
Seattle would be 1-5 if it wasn't for that fucking blown call. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're defending NFC champions at 1-5.
Yeah.
I don't know what has changed. I know there's been a lot of injuries and guys not playing. You know, Chancellor was out for the first couple of weeks and then Bobby Wagner was out this week. But that team is not the same team and it's the same, almost the same people.
Legion of Boom have become the Legion of Crash.
The touchdown play that Carolina got him on, and, you know, you see Sherman turn around to look at, I think it was Chancellor, and they're sitting there arguing over who should have covered the guy up the middle. It's like, yeah, there's something going on there.
Did you see the one? I seen someone turn it into a meme. There was a point where, I don't forget who he was talking to on the sideline, Rich Sherman was, and then right before they cut away, Richard Sherman, like, looked right up to the camera. And it wasn't, like, a close camera call. Like, I mean, it was up close to them, but, like, physically it wasn't up close. So it's just, like, they had a camera pointing on them in the distance, and then he, like, actually, like, connected eyes with it. But that's what he does. How many shots have
he got? Oh, he knows where they're at, like, dude. He knows how to play to that camera. He's not stupid. Dude went to Stanford. He can't be too dumb.
He's not playing very well right now.
He's really not playing. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening, but he's not playing very well at all. I do want to say though that the defensive coordinator, I think, is the one that's in Atlanta now, is the one that was in Seattle last year, and that might be the difference.
Could be. All right, let's get in. Cleveland. Kind of briefly got into it. It's kind of the same thing. I did watch this game and went over to a friend's house while I was home and enjoyed it. I like sitting down watching a game with a friend of mine. I did the same thing. Went to another friend's house and watched the Sunday night game. But I don't know whether it was the Browns were looking good, but not good enough, or the Broncos were looking bad, but not that bad type thing. Because the stats between McCown and Manning were similar, but it's just like, well, is that a compliment to one?
I would definitely say it was a compliment to McCown, because Cleveland's defense has proved this year that they're not very good, and Denver's defense has proved that they're very good. So that tells me if McCown played really well.
McCown played
considering who he played.
I'm not going to go very well, because there were, when that defense went in for the kill, they went in for the kill, and that's how we got the interception. That's how we got
30 points on probably the best defense in the league.
They are right now,
but by the end of the year, I'm going to guess that's a top three defense. I thought it was 30.
No, I'm saying only 20-some points. Yeah, but there was also defensive touchdown. That defensive touchdown doesn't count. You have to count that. It's like if you look at defense points in fantasy. Like, for example, with the Eagles and the Giants, because the Giants, most of those
yeah,
points.
I think Bradford had three of them. Yeah, they ended up with 9 points in at least the WIR league. The Giants defense had 9, and that was mostly from turnovers. I don't even want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Sam Bradford.
I had fun watching the game. There were those points where it was just so awesome to see some great stuff, but there were times where it just fucking sucked. And it was like, we would go to the highest of high to the lowest of low, like, oh my God, we're going to win this game. Oh no, we're not. Oh my God, we're going to win.
Sadly, that's what bad teams do.
But I still think the only positive I will come out of this is I'm still continuing to think that the Browns are in the right direction. They just don't have all the pieces right now, which
I am just really concerned for the defense. I really thought they'd be much better than they are, and they're really not playing it.
Yeah. Hopefully these draft picks start maturing out to actually be something, or they make some better moves next year. I don't know. But we'll quickly move on. Let's get into our picks for this week on our teams. And since there's only two of us, this part will go a little bit quicker. And one of my teams are on bye, too. So we have the
Cleveland
that we were just talking about. The 2-4 Cleveland Browns at the 2-3 St. Louis Rams. The Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. Or if you're talking to Wayne, they are an 86% favorite. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Rams, even though someone thinks going against the Browns would really make me mad.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I do it almost every week.
Once this year. So yeah, I don't really care about that, but I'm going to take St. Louis, and if I'm betting, I'm taking the points too. St. Louis at home is a very good team, and Cleveland has not proved that they can stop anything on defense.
I'll say this too, going back to the Browns game last week. Do you know how much that would have said for the Browns to beat the Broncos? That would have been clearly a huge win. Not just record-wise, we would have went up to 3-3, but we would have knocked off an undefeated team from continuing that on, which, I mean, that gives us a little bit of, mojo. I mean, not like we knocked them out of the playoffs or something, or playoff contention. And Peyton Manning. Granted, Peyton Manning's not doing that great, but Peyton Manning has never lost to the Browns. The Broncos haven't lost to the Browns since the
fumble.
I forget what
the drive.
No, I want to forget. I forget what I heard. Actually, I want to say it was early 2000s. No, well, they came back in 99. It was 2002, 2003. Last time that the Broncos lost. It's crazy. But anyway.
Yeah,
you're picking the Browns. And
no, I'm taking St. Louis. Why would I take St. Louis and the points and then confuse it with taking the underdog Browns? I like betting.
I don't know, because you're a betting man. And oh, we're going to have fun with this one. The 1-4 Tennessee Titans hosting the 5-1 Atlanta Falcons. A 3.5-point favorite Atlanta. Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta. And like we mentioned earlier,
there's no way I can take Tennessee. Although I do think Mettenberger is going to be a more, what's the word? More like a Brett Favre, where he's going to fucking just gun it up. I mean, Atlanta's, they're playing so well, and I just don't see it happening.
Well, let's quickly get into the hashtag huddle segment, and we will start with our email, our one and only lonely email, and that is none other than Andy, wait for it, Anderson. Hello, boys. I had fun watching the beginning of Green Bay with Ant and Mop. Thanks for joining me. Yeah, where was my invitation? Okay, I was invited. I just was.
Yeah, you probably weren't even home.
What was I doing? I was not home. That was the 4 o'clock game. Beginning of that game, I was finishing up the Browns game. Then I quickly ran home and then went over to a friend's house to watch the late night game. So I was in transition. And I watched. It was the end of the 4 o'clock games too. That Detroit TD was the worst TD I have ever seen. That was not a TD. When you saw it, this is his question. When you saw it, with a question mark. Thanks for reading my email. That has been my Nickel D thought of the week. AA. P.S. Go Cubs. Hashtag Andy plus five.
Hashtag Cubs lose. Cubs lose. Cubs lose.
Hashtag fly the L. They lost. So, okay.
He basically saying, is it a touchdown? No, it was not a touchdown.
When you saw it.
And at this point, I don't know what a fucking touchdown is.
I think, there's some tweets about that. We'll quickly get into those as well.
Because I believe Devontae Freeman had one that was very similar to that. That was ruled not a touchdown. So I have no fucking clue what a goddamn touchdown is.
It's when the ball gets in the end zone and
At what point is the guy out of control, and what point is it in fucking flopped up in the air interception?
I'm joking. That's pretty much a reference from what the fuck, Frank Caliendo, making fun of John Madden. Not a lot of...
which is good, because we're running short on time
this week. Actually, no, there was actually a lot. Fuck. New York Jets greater than Washington with a 6-point spread. How confident are you? $5, $20, $50, $100, $500?
Yeah, I responded. I mean, took you all out of it because I didn't think you wanted to hear it. I was pretty fucking confident in it, and yeah, that didn't work out.
F the Mop Jockey was right. The Thursday night Thanksgiving football games were only on the NFL in the beginning. Hashtag NFL Network.
I thought so.
Thursday night Thanksgiving films.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember what I was talking about, but like the conversation, I don't remember how it went. At the Mop Jockey, you're telling me, and this, all these, that was both from Andy, you're telling me that you would not want Tom Brady on your team. Come on. Tennessee could use him, hashtag NFL.
I didn't say they couldn't. I still don't like the motherfucker.
That's true. Andy Anderson at FTW780. You forgot to pick Thursday night game. Put the cucumbers down and make your picks.
Actually, I think he's deleted his Twitter fucking app again.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't get that. I deleted my Twitter. Deleting the Twitter app doesn't delete Twitter.
He's got to actually delete the account. That's too much work.
Yeah. This was sent to me, you, and NFL Easy Picks from DRG. It's the story of J.J. Watt surprising kids at
Children's Hospital, really like dressed as Batman. Watt. I think he would be one of the coolest people to get to know.
Oh, yeah. I just heard he did a Chris Farley impression for, like, because he went to Wisconsin, and that's where Farley's from. And, like, they posted, like, some video of it, and I was like, hey, Watt, get off my fucking thing that I do. You go play football. I do this. Anyway. Andy Anderson, go Bears. Like NFL Easy Picks, moving on.
Yay!
Ant's back!
Not a clue.
What's a touchdown? What's the difference between Freeman's last week and Tate's this week? The decision. Not a clue. The decision, that's what.
Fix clarity, your fucking hashtag NFL. Quit worrying about stupid fucking fines.
Hashtag NFL Easy Picks, another one from Ant. Here's a bullshit fact for you. This year I have picked every Miami Dolphins result.
I would have too, and except for I changed my pick like 10 minutes before the game and took Miami. I would have had all of them wrong also.
One from me. The very rare time that I will tweet it. Cause
you say go Browns?
I say everything on the show that I want to say, but I'm like, no. I said 20 for 34 for 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions.
I was going to say that.
Now, there's the McCown line.
As you were
rattling
off the numbers, I'm like, that's Josh McCown's line. That is his career line.
Yeah. And my thing was, I'm comparing it to the week before with Andy saying, like, oh, this is what McCown did. How could you not like him? Because 20 for 39 for 213 yards, and 2
touchdowns,
and 2 interceptions.
But to be fair to McCown, he's not going to face Aqib Talib every week.
Yeah, those were some bad, especially that last one.
Talib's going to make a lot of quarterbacks look like that, though, too.
All right, there's another one from Ant. Does anyone else think that Greg Olsen looks like Ron Burgundy?
I never really thought about it, but yeah, kind of with the mustache. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I seen the tweet, and then I happened to was watching the end of the Carolina game. I was like, oh, yeah, kind of. Last one from Ant, and it comes with a picture. Now, where are the shocks coming from here? New England, perhaps? Looks like everyone will score 12-8 this week. Hashtag NFL Easy Picks. And it's basically what we see on the sidebar of the picks. And very little has changed. Like, a Thursday night game has changed on the pitcher. It's 84-16. And right now it's 86-14. Minor differences. But ironically enough, Minnesota
and
Detroit
is still 50-50. Just because we don't know what to think of Detroit right now. But yeah, it's...
Oh, shit. Remember I said earlier the difference of Pittsburgh and Kansas City, 74-26, in his
it's
picture,
a lot more people
67-33.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was really tough coming up with some underdogs to pick.
Part of me wants to pick all, but I have to go out.
Like I said,
I only have two. This will be the first week I know I'm going to have to
I usually take a double look on Sunday morning to make sure, A, that I've done them, and B, that I like what they are.
Well, I'm saying Saturday because of...
Oh, that's right. We got to. Well, I'll probably be up at that time because that's my normal sleep schedule, whatever's.
Yep. All right, we're gonna end this show finally, and
before we
go
do that,
over
let's do one
the
more
rest
thing.
Of the games,
we talked last week about uniforms, right? Is gloves part of the uniform? If cleats are part of the uniform, gloves should be part of the uniform. And that fucking faggot ass, I want to punch him in his... He may have a more punchable face than Brady. The fucking receiver, Edelman. He's got bright red gloves on. Very clear targets for the quarterback. How in the fuck is that allowed, but a guy riding Ironhead on his fucking eye black isn't?
And well, the thing that we talked about before we started the show is also whatever the guy's name from Cincinnati was last year that his daughter had cancer and he actually put Leah Strong.
Oh, he did it the whole
probably
season.
I think it was more than once on his says he was not fine once. And my whole thing was, okay, that makes this whole situation look even worse for the NFL. The only answer that I will accept from them is if they prove that there has been a rule change to where last year that
would
have been okay.
Which is the whole problem that the NFL is having with the Tom Brady Deflategate. The rules are not enforced the same for everyone. It's very subjective. They pick and choose. But how can a guy whose colors are generally the white and blue have bright red fucking gloves on? Very clearly, his hands stand out from everything else on the uniform. But doesn't that make it a unfair advantage for the quarterback and receiver when the
gloves are optional?
I mean, and if I'm a receiver, you don't need them, but everyone wears them because they have that material on them that isn't stick'em, but is fucking stick'em. If I'm a receiver, I'm gonna get the brightest motherfucking color gloves I can for the target.
But I wouldn't say they're really throwing out your hands, but it's if they you make some sort of movement
right.
to say, hey,
and
throw it to me,
that,
they can see it better.
I mean, these guys are pinpoint accurate. So if he puts I guarantee you almost any quarterback in the NFL.
You know what? Here's what I'm betting it is. Obviously, helmet, jersey, pants,
socks,
part of the jersey. I mean, part of the uniform. Like hands down, hands down. We know that. Socks too, because actually that'll the towels.
Mouth guards, I think, are optional because I've seen a lot of different kinds of them.
What I'm saying is, I think most of them are like supplied.
Oh, I guarantee everything an NFL companies. Player wears is supplied.
Well, obviously, it's like the jersey and I think the pants. You know, a lot of it's Nike, and the gloves might be something.
I thought that everything
too.
Was Nike. Now I thought the NFL signed a deal to have all the uniforms made by one company. Now
it's the same thing with the shoes, but I don't know who makes the gloves. Gloves might not be Nike. I mean, obviously, I know the jerseys are Nike. The Nike deal came in 2012, I want to say. Because I love jerseys so much that I remember when they signed that deal. Because it used to be Reebok was the main supplier of even hats, too. And now they that's where New Era stepped in for the hats, which I'm happy about because the greatest thing that they did, in my opinion, was every year with Reebok, they used to come out with like new hats. There was like two new hats every year. And sometimes I felt like I had to buy them. They're sticking with just like a normal looking fucking hat. They'll come out with a special draft day hat, I think, and that's it. Other than that, it's just a plain old regular colors with the logo on the front.
Yeah, there was a couple years there. They had some really funky hats. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a few of them too.
For the Bears. I mean, it's like they kind of look cool, but when you go down to it, it's like, why, you know, every fucking year? Like, I like the regular colors, but anyway. Let's get into the rest of these games. And we will start with the Thursday night game, the 2-4 Seattle Seahawks at the 2-4 San Francisco Giants. The Seahawks are 6.5-point favorite. This being a Thursday night game, I think this could be an underdog pick, but... I don't believe San Francisco yet. I think they won because the Ravens are pretty.
Yeah, we say that, but if you look at out of their five losses, they've lost by a combined 21 points in five games. So remember a couple years back, was it Cleveland had took everything down to the wire? It sounds like Baltimore's doing almost the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh shit, Cleveland too this year. They've only had like what?
Yeah,
like
the rest were really, really close or in overtime.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
really close.
If you go to overtime, that's close.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You went longer, closer. Going to the England
by the
game,
way, I'm taking Seattle.
Is Ant still going too? Oh, okay.
Is going to this one? Yeah, he's going to this one. No, wait, no. He's going to the last one.
Because
he only got tickets to two of them. It was the Miami one, and I think is it Detroit is over there next? No.
He said he had the option for all three, but
chose two of them. He said he didn't want to go see Jacksonville and Buffalo.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, the 3-3 Buffalo Bills going up against the 1-5. Jacksonville Jaguars.
They will at least be in the next couple years.
Well,
actually, yeah, they've kind of backed off. At least they've slowed down on it. Because I'm guessing because of logistics.
Yeah. But
I'm going to go Buffalo, this is a game I'm going to revisit later because it wouldn't surprise me at all for Jacksonville to go over there and beat up on a banged up Buffalo team. But right now it's Buffalo, but may change.
Next up, we have the 3-2 Minnesota Vikings at the 1-5 Detroit Lions. Minnesota's a 2.5-point favorite. 50-50 currently in the picks. I'm going ballsy, and I'm going Detroit. The 2-4 New Orleans Saints at the 3-3 Indianapolis Colts. We are going to figure out who is the shittier team of these two teams who should be a lot better. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts.
It's Indy, right? It's in Indy. Yeah, I don't see me changing that pick.
Yes. Maybe I'll be in Indy for this game. That'd be cool. But, yeah. The 4-2 Pittsburgh Steelers at the 1-5 Kansas City Chiefs. I'd love to take a waiver out on this one and pick the Kansas City Chiefs. But with Pittsburgh, whatever quarterback they decide
I'm gonna
to play.
Pittsburgh, yeah, even if it is Pittsburgh. Landry Jones, the Chiefs are just, they're just in such a mess. Cause now I'm hearing, what's his name maybe hurt, the other receiver, Macklin.
Yeah. The 2-4 Houston Texans at the 2-3 Miami Dolphins. Miami is a 4.5
point
favorite.
Yeah, I think
favorite.
This is the
Miami
team I expected to see. I'll take Miami.
In what I think could be a very interesting game, the 5-0 New England Patriots hosting the 4-1 New York Jets. The Patriots are a 9-point favorite.
Yeah, I could very easily see
Patriots.
This game being super close. I mean, but still, New England.
The 2-4 Washington Redskins hosting the 2-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 3.5-point favorites are the Redskins. This is really a toss-up when it comes down to it, but I'm going to go with the home field, and really surprising the Redskins even have two wins.
Redskins are coming off a bye.
The 2-4 San Diego Chargers hosting the 2-3 Oakland Raiders. Chargers are a 4-point favorite, and they're soon-to-be neighbors.
Across the bay.
Or roommates, or they're soon-to-be roommates, if you will. I'm going
to
go
with
the
Oakland,
San Diego Chargers.
Well, mostly because this game's going to be a shootout, and, I mean, fuck, who knows. And I needed to pick some underdogs.
Yeah. This is – the picks are spread out right now, 90-10 in favor of San Diego.
Oh, a lot closer. You got Oakland coming off a bye. The reason San Diego's being picked so highly is because they were so close in Green Bay, but that's because San Diego's defense is – offense is nothing but a pass offense that scores a bunch of points. And if somebody finds a way to stop them, honestly, this game is probably going to be 52-47. I could very easily see this game getting there.
The 3-3 New York Giants at the 2-3 Dallas Cowboys. This is the weird one that I'm going, and I will pick the
As did I. Dallas Coming Cowboys. Off a bye. I'm really hoping that some of these changes in Dallas is going to make a difference, but we'll see.
The 3-3 Philadelphia Eagles at the 5-0 Carolina Panthers. As well as the Philadelphia Eagles have played, I'm expecting the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we have to
success.
Consider Carolina as legit, and Philadelphia is too fucking erratic. So give me Carolina.
What if we got a Carolina versus
I would mark
Cincinnati
the fuck out because I like both teams.
Well, you got to get another playoff win before you can get that far. Anyway, let's get to the last game, the Monday night game.
Oh, yeah, I was going to, but you kept going on, and I'm not going to stop you. But at least we're in the playoffs to try to get a win.
I was expecting that one to come from you. That's why I was keeping on going. Anyway, the 1-5 Baltimore Ravens at the 4-2 Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are a 7.5-point favorite. I just think Baltimore's, well, obviously they're 1-5, so, and that's pretty bad. They have one win.
The team they have a win over. They got that win when they did. Steelers. Yeah, that game was lost by Pittsburgh. It wasn't won by Baltimore.
That's true.
Yeah, I can't, but I mean, Arizona I would love Cardinals. To see Baltimore go in there and beat them, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
All right, that'll do it for us here on the show. We've rambled on long enough, and there's any last-minute words or final thoughts?
Not so much, just at the Mop Jockey.
Mop. And you can find me on Twitter at Heavyset330. You can catch all the other great shows on the Trending Topics Network. You can email us, NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFLEasyPicks, or you can use hashtag NFLEasyPicks, and much like Ant, DRG, Andy, your tweets can be read right here on the show. So I guess we'll end this. And thank you for listening. And it's now the end of regulation time.